This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, odds, and just about everything sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
I just disagree so much so. Not what with Derek Carr saying, man, because he was, and we were saying this all season long about Derek Carr. He was popped up on painkillers. They had that numbing. They were shooting him up with that painkiller, and you could tell because his eyes was bucking and bulging. I doubt he even knew what planet he was on most of the game. You could see his eyes were just lit up, and he was just, that was just so wrong to do him that. There was no need to do that to Derek Carr. If he had a tour, he got a tore shoulder. He got, at the time, he said 3 broken ribs. The previous reports in him on several different interviews that we've covered here said 3 broken ribs. This show he says 2, whatever. But I just disagree with all of what the Saints was doing. They were pumping him with painkillers just so that he can go out there and we didn't even get in the playoffs. So, I mean, they just abused him, and that just pissed me off. It pissed me off then when I heard about it, when it was going on. It pissed me off at the end of the season, and then they have the nerve to stand up here and talk about player safety. What kind of crap is this? That's why we have backup quarterbacks to come in and do it. We had a vet behind Derek Carr. You didn't have to do that to him. That he said he couldn't, and he said this before at the back of the season, like he couldn't do nothing for like 2 months. He couldn't do anything. No activities at all. That's how bad a shape that he was, according to what he was saying. I just think it's an absolute, all this much to do about player safety and all this nonsense, and then they just shooting the guy up with dope, shooting him up with painkiller to go out there. And it just, I just disagree with that, man. That's why we got guys, the guy got broken ribs and he busted all the hell. Please don't put that guy out there. That's why we got depth charts. I just didn't like how they did him on that. All right, OG to the third degree says, how many times will you say, you know? no, we don't know. Do you? thank you for the super chat, bro. That's just how Carr talks, man. He just is that he, you know, is like Dennis Allen says, well, look, you know, so Derek Carr says, you know, Dennis Allen says what he says. Well, look. That's just how, you know, that's just one of the things that they do. And I think with Dennis Allen and like even Mickey Loomis does the wind up, I call it, where he does that. And that buys him a little time to kind of formulate his thoughts for whatever the question is or the topic that they're talking about. I think that's a mechanism that Carr uses and Dennis Allen uses as well. Thank you, OG to the third degree.
You're known to have, you know, big arm, be able to make the throws, but when you're banged up, how nice is it to be in a system or with a group of guys, rather, more than anything, because I just think when the quick game's going for you guys with Alvin out of the backfield and the speed you have outside, how nice is it to have, you know, that kind of option, a style of play?
Yeah, it was awesome, you know, and the way, you know, I got to learn so much just by watching Drew in the film, you know, run the offense and the decisions he's making to AK and this kind of thing. And so it really helped me last year.
That's pretty interesting, Carla. Carla says, show the team you ain't want to lose your job. Is that how it is? Your quarterback gets hurt and he can't get his job back? That happened with Jameis. And you know what? I'm laughing, but it's a sad state of affairs. Because actually, I don't think Carr is a bad guy. I think Carr has his own reality that he lives in. And sometimes it takes people to have to show him what time it is. I don't think he's a bad dude. You know, I don't think he's a bad dude, but I think his game needs some work, you know, like a lot of players. But, you know, what they did with Derek Carr, and you're absolutely right. I think Doug said it, that they played. Was it Doug? I want to get the right credit. Yeah, Doug says, man, you know, Q, they played Drew Hurt too. And I just think it's like today's NFL is all this stuff about safety and all this kind of stuff. And he was saying he was getting shot. He even pointed to where his shot. He was like, he was in there. And he got shot here. He got one here. He was getting shots all over. So he said, I wouldn't have been able to throw the ball if I didn't have the pain shot. That's terrible, family. That is awful. He would not have been able to throw the football or play football without the pain. Multiple pain shots. He getting shot up every week. And this was like for the entire season after, you know, he got planted in the Green Bay game. I think that's when he got knocked out of there. And we knew something was up because when they took him out of there, they evaluated him in the medical tent. Then they put him on the cart, then took him to the locker room, said they did some little stuff there. And then he went to the hospital. I was like, he went to the hospital. What's going on? And then the report came out that they were X-raying his chest area. And I was like, man. Something ain't right about this. And then as the season went on, they hid that. Remember, don't forget this stuff. They hid all of that. They hid the fact that he was that. And we looked at him, man, this dude got a bust. He got busted up ribs, something going on. We were saying it before the Saints said the Saints made it official 2 weeks before the season end. And they did that so they can roll out the excuse matrix. So they can come with the excuses to explain why, you know, the team failed because of injuries to the quarterbacks. But prior to that, they did not release that information about him being hurt or even acknowledge that until a couple of weeks before the end of the season to kick into the excuse matrix. You know, but Neo and Morpheus ain't there. It's only Mickey and Dennis Allen. And the excuse matrix is to, to keep people buying the tickets, you know, because of the excuses that you're not supposed to be making. But here we go.
Especially
interesting take
when I was banged up, that man, I know that I have that guy in AK that I can get that ball to just out leveraging instead of a 2 yard gain, it's really 9 yards with AK, you know, and you know, that kind of stuff really helped. And you know, with Chris and Rashid and the quick game, obviously that stuff helped us a lot, you know, because we had to call more of that stuff based on some of the health that I was dealing with.
How important is it to have a differentiating body type, like a big target that you can throw to, you know, like, or a, you know, Juwan or something, like a tight end, but a guy who can actually create in space and has the size?
Yeah. With like guys like AT and Juwan, you know, they allow me to make throws that you typically can't make with a smaller guy, right? Like, you know, if a guy is on his shoulder, well, I can throw it, you know, way back here on a back shoulder ball. And I know that they're going to go get it, you know, and AT was that jump ball, back shoulder, big body guy. Juwan also down the field, down the middle, making those plays that you love to throw as a quarterback that you can't throw to everyone based on what they were given at birth, you know. And, you know, those are guys that down the stretch for me, you know, I've always loved having a guy like that. You know, you have your starters, you know, and you have your guys that have roles, and they fit that role and just my style of play to be able to have that one-on-one guy that I can make that throw to. And they came down with most of them, so you trust them. That trust builds for sure.
Yeah. The thing behind you, the calendar, okay, this is a relevant question right now because the PA is talking about changing the schedule on us, which is wild because, all right, I don't know how you feel about it, but we were talking about, like, being routine-oriented as football players.
Hold on just a second. Spice, interesting, bro. Y'all, the great thing, thing, man, that's why I say you guys the best. The great Saint Think Tank always rolling around these things. Carla was kicking it and said he was playing hurt like that because, you know, like we saying, Jay, this is not something we making up. If we just remember everything that happens, we don't forget the stuff. Because if you remember the things that happen, it creates a pattern. And then you can basically predict what's going on with the team. That's how I do it. I remember majority of all this stuff. That's how I know to create patterns with players and coaches to know exactly how the majority of the time they're going to behave or react. That's how I'm able to call a lot of stuff with the Saints accurately because I know the personality of these people. Now, if you look at what Spice says, how about the Saints felt that a hurt Carr was better than a healthy Winston? That's why he's no longer on the team. How about that? I would definitely co-sign that. You know, anytime you go into great lengths to pump, you know, Derek Carr. Now listen, you know, I'm not going to, you know, I think Derek Carr was doing what most football players are trained to do. I often talked about the program and the brainwashing is what actually what it is. The brainwashing of players to play with broken bones and all this kind of stuff. The truth of the matter is, you know, people get hurt. It's a physical sport, but that's what depth charts are for. That's when you have a backup quarterback and a backup running back, wide receiver, whatever. You have those guys in place. You hope that your stars don't get hurt. But if they do, you do your best by, you know, best that you can in your scouting and your cap management to find people that can bridge the gap until the player can come back from injury. You know, if sometimes they might not come back from injury until next year, you just have to maybe make a trade or do something to kind of bring, you know, fill that talent void, that vacuum. So to me, if I'm the coach of the team, and it's not like it's a pressurized situation because then last year it wasn't acting in any pressure because Mickey Loomis wasn't putting any pressure on Dennis Allen. He really wasn't. He left Dennis Allen alone to the point where he was taking the arrows from people. You know, he was making excuses for him. Are you going to talk to him to tell him you need to do that? He wasn't putting any pressure on him. So we put the pressure on him. And you could see that it had a noticeable effect. Real bad. At the end of the season, eyes bulged. Wasn't just the end of the season. That was a culmination of the entire season of pressure being aimed at Mickey Loomis. Because he ain't felt pressure like that, I don't think, ever. He didn't feel pressure like that, man. Because we were putting all of that right at him. You need to go and check your coach. But like I said, man, I just think that, you know, they didn't have to shoot Derek Carr up with the man. He said three broken ribs at the time. He got a tore up shoulder and whatever else happened to him. You know, they don't tell you everything, but he was all tore to hell, according to him. And he looked, but I knew something was wrong. That's all I was saying. During people were saying, nah, Q, he ain't really hurt. I disagree, man. You can see the guy trying to play and his eyes was bucking. You could see he was out there. His ball was sailing because his accuracy wasn't there because parts of his body is numb. He can't just, that was awful. But yeah, I have to agree with you on that about the Jameis thing, man, because I mean, I don't think we had a great drop off if you'd had Jameis, a healthy Jameis Winston playing until Derek Carr would have made it back. We didn't have to do that to that man. That was wrong, in my opinion. Farouk, shout out to you, brother. Good to see you. Yeah, Doug says he got knocked out of the game and was back the next. Yeah, because I was saying to myself, man, he shouldn't. I was like, man, there's no way that kid plays. There's no way he plays. He just got planted. That dude took him and planted him in the ground like a tree. I was like, there's no way he come back. He was back the next damn week. And I'm like, come on, man. But they sit up there with their arms folded and let it happen. So, I mean, I don't think you should treat the players like that, man. That's effed up and wrong. Spice says Carr got that Kobe mentality. That's why he wore the sleeve in the honor of Kobe play. Yeah, playing hurt and stuff like that. I commend him, but at the same time, we don't want the man to put his – that's just – yeah, that, I just didn't like how that was handled. We didn't need to go that route. We really didn't.
Like, where do we stretch? Where do we – like, we're the same way with our schedule. You know, it's this time of the year. This is what I do. This is when we get together. For offensive players especially, and for quarterback, like installations, the whole thing. First off, how did you feel when you heard they might change the schedule earlier training camp, maybe sometime in June, maybe early in July, doing away with the voluntary stuff? And then second, how would that affect how you do your job?
Yeah, I think my answer may, I don't know how everyone else feels about it. I really haven't kept up, but it may be unpopular. But I think the skill that it takes to play all of our positions would go down. Because you have less time on task. I don't know. Like, as a quarterback, your timing, your rhythm, your accuracy, all of that in April isn't at its best, you know. But you use these practices and these OTAs to get there. And then you get a little bit of a break, which I've always found nice for my family, you know, to have that time where I'm still working, I'm still throwing, but I still have time to go take my kids to hit balls. I still can take them golfing. I can still do those things before it really ramps up. And I mean, the NFL season's already long and you're going to start it a month earlier. To me, I mean, I think for young guys too, that would be hard. There's so much that the young players have to learn, in my opinion. Again, it's all my opinion, but so much that they have to learn where I think OTAs are beneficial. Again, now that's coming from a guy who's been doing this 11 years, and I may have an older school of thinking. But just the skill it takes and the time on task, especially as coaches, I mean, they're going to be stressed out of their mind getting guys ready to play, I don't know. If we're honest with ourselves.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The job that we have is pretty unbelievable, even with how the schedule is now. And so I enjoy being here with my teammates. There's a lot of guys you and I have probably both played with, where you're like, we're really going to give that guy until the beginning of July off,
Right. You're just not going to see that guy. Nobody's going to check in. He doesn't have to come in the building. I'm with you. I think the popular take from players is going to be, it could be pretty disruptive. And listen, there are varying degrees of needing OTAs. The guys in the offensive room need a lot more. The guys in coverage need a lot more. The guys in the defensive line room, we got to go through our stuff, but it's also good to get to know each other. It's good to bring the rookies along, and it's good to get together. You think about these teams that are trying to repeat. It's going to be really hard to repeat and stay good if you can't build the culture of your team through the calendar year. And for coaches, they're going to be miserable. I bet coaches would hate this. They love being out on the boat in the summer. They get that 3-week period where, for once, they don't have to sleep in the facility. You know what I mean? I think it would be majorly disruptive.
Yes. Yes. I think just the overall excellence of our game and as you know, because we play, there's so much fine detail and skill that is involved along with the physicality that you can't just get that with an extra 2-week training camp,
No, this is I'd be okay with 10 thing. More days of training camp. And I sound crazy and old school. I came in when it was 2-a-days, but there's a way to ramp up in a safe way. But you need the time, because nowadays, if you play in that Hall of Fame game, dude, I don't know if you ever played in that, but it's coming right now. You get in the building, you get your syllabus for the training camp, you get your calendar. And you're like, damn, shells, pads, Canton. Yes. That's too fast. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I agree with them on that. But anyways, okay, let's talk about your schedule this year. Dallas and KC early on the road, man. I know they're all tough, but tough place to play, tough defenses. What goes into getting an offense ready to go early and communicate and be ready for the stress level of a place like Arrowhead?
Oh man, you know that it's now that I'm not a Raider, I can finally say it's one of my favorite places to play.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, you probably could, but the place is amazing.
It's amazing, man. And there's always one guy for the last 11 years that yells at me, and whether we've beat them or they're beating us, we have a good relationship. You know,
I had a guy like that in Seattle. He was right in the tunnel. He was hanging over the tunnel. He was,
that guy is amazing.
You know, the guy I'm talking about in Seattle,
100%. He's there every time. He knows everything about you. Yep. But yeah, he is the man.
Yes, I love that guy because he'll talk to you and he'll talk trash, but then at the end of the game he daps you up, and usually it was after a loss for us. But the last game we were 0-6. We won the seventh time, and it was my last time playing there. And I said goodbye to the guy and everything. This is so funny. You remember this guy?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. He's a good dude. I've had great conversations with him, and so
that's cool.
Kansas City, Dallas is two places I've been able to go and win at their buildings. Kansas City, they've gotten after us a lot there. And so I've seen both sides of it, but it's the work that we just talked about, OTA. It's the work we're doing now, the communication, the little details of the assignment, the timing, all of those things that when you get into a hostile environment, that's all you got is your thoughts. And so if your thoughts are scattered and your brain isn't on the right stuff, then that's where teams go out in there and you get blown out, you know. But if you're on your details, you know, anytime, you know, I can go to those games where we won in those places, like our details were money, you know, everyone's assignments are on point.
I was getting that feeling, but I can't prove that. So I was like, KD, you said it, man. I don't know, man. He said, Cardo, damn well, you don't know what Chris talking about. Yeah, I was listening to him. I was like, but I can't prove he doesn't know him. So, you know, you just take his word, you know? All right.
That's what it takes to beat those teams in their place, because they're two amazing defenses and teams.
I feel like just watching on the sideline, being stressed out, watching an offense on the road try to do what they do, it's about like starting fast. And it's about conversions. Yep. Like those two things on the road to me. What else do you think are the keys when you go on the road?
You know, I think you hit it on the head. I think if you start fast, you can kind of take the crowd out of it at the beginning, you know, because you get up, you go down, get a field goal, go down, get a touchdown. You know, it's like, oh, crap. You know, that second drive you come out, it's not buzzing as loud as if it was a third down sack to end it, you know. And, you know, same thing, moving the chains on third down. You know, if you can sustain a good drive, but if you can convert on third down, you know,
they get tired of that. They get tired of that after the fifth conversion on a drive. Yep. It's kind of quiet.
It does. And so for me, it's staying efficient on first and second down are absolutely key, because if you can get in the third of manageables, you know, obviously the percentages are higher. You can get them like that. That's where you can get a first down and take them out of it again. And then those next two downs, as you know, it's dead silent. And so,
do you prefer when you get the ball to receive on the road, you know, or do you prefer let the defense do it? Because I'm just saying, this is no offense to offensive players, but I'd rather we kick, you know what I mean? That a three and out on the road in a hostile environment to start a game is like a death sentence.
At 100%, especially against the offenses like Dallas and Kansas City, you know, they're unbelievable teams. And so for me, I've always begged the head coach. You know how these analytics are now, but I've always like, give us the ball, you know. And they're like, yeah, we're going to defer.
I figured you say that. I respect it. Yeah. Yeah, they're like, oh, go out there and defer.
Yeah, I was like, let me go out there. I want to play, you know. And so I'm all amped up. And I was like, yeah, honestly, I want to get the first hit out of the way. Like, I don't want to sit here for another 15 minutes while they're on offense. Like, let's go
play. That's true. That's true, too. Okay, so you got week 17. You got the Raiders.
Yeah.
At home, right? In New Orleans, right?
It's in New Orleans,
Okay. Yep. So Max Crosby's coming to town.
Yep.
Is he going to call you little ass boy or medium boy? Or what do you think he's got? What do you think Max has got up his sleeve?
Yeah, the talking point about the starting fast, the efficiency. I mean, I agree with that, man. And I definitely agree with, in terms of you're on the road, and you, I think if you're the Saints and you got something to prove offensively, you're on the road, take the ball, go down there and score, and put pressure on them to match what you got going on, as opposed to the opposite, when we're going to kick it to them and see what they're going to do. I mean, I guess there's a certain environment for that when you want to do that. Like if you kick an ass at home and you want to kind of switch it. But I do like the mentality of the offense saying, let's take the ball and go down there and score. And like I said, I don't think Derek Carr, you know, like last year, a lot of his stuff was off because of the fact that he was pumped with painkillers and he had all kind of issues delivering the ball accurately. But I mean, if you have enough tape to find out what kind of quarterback Derek Carr is, he's a gunslinger. That's what I got from studying Derek Carr since he's been in the NFL. Seen enough film from him, seen him all last year, looked at a lot of stuff from his Raider days. He's a gunslinger. And when healthy, he's the guy that you get a ball, you have your weapons in place, and everybody's doing what they got to do. And when the play action work and you have a Chris Olave and a Rashid Shaheed taking the top off the defense because one of the safeties have to slip down for run support and you got one-on-one coverage, and he put that damn ball out there and let Chris Olave run up under it. Let Rashid Shaheed run up under it. Let Taysom Hill run up under it. Elvin Kamara run up under it. So, I mean, the guy's a gunslinger, and that's just what you got to do. You got to kind of lend yourself to that. So, if you can get that going, I could see him getting past 4,000 yards in the season if you're operating like that. But, of course, you need the running attack and the play action to do that. But he can give you that. That's what I get from Derek Carr. He's a gunslinger, man. When healthy, he has a big arm that and he loves to throw that thing down the field. And we got the people to go and get it. That's the part that I was talking about, the explosives last year, about getting the explosives back to the Saints offense, because the prior year we had Andy Dalton there and it was laughable. But like I said, man, we getting the running game going and kind of tapping into his true gunslinger mentality, man. That's, you know, that we can only hope, you know, we can only hope everything work out the way it's supposed to.
Yeah. One thing I know about Max is he's a psychopath. And yes, so he's going to want to rip my head off, but
he's got his chains insured, bro.
100%. So I may actually wear that. I may wear that one that week to the game just because he bought it for me. It'd be hilarious.
Dude, do that, please. If you wear that chain to the game, oh my God, that'd be incredible. Okay.
Yes.
With the Raiders, man, like you still got people you vibe with there when you see them and the whole thing. You spend so much time there. I remember my first year in New England, we played the Rams. I went back to the Rams locker room after the game. Like my boys were like, get back here. And I was like, this is weird, but I'm going back because we're brothers, man. Is that going to be a tough weekend or one you look forward to? And how hard is it going to be to just laser focus on the task?
You know, it's, you know, because of, you know, AP's the head coach. I love AP. He was great to me and I enjoyed my time with him. And, you know, cause he's the head coach and there's different people in the building. And, you know, I know Aiden, you know, love Aiden, love Devontae's one of my best friends, you know, Max, same thing, you know, like these are like my real friends, you know? And so there's no like hatred, like even Raider Nation. Like I love Raider Nation. I sign Raider jerseys and hats everywhere I go still. And, you know, that their love for me is, you know, been unbelievable even since I left. You know, I got people always saying, man, we still root for you. We watch your games and then we watch the Raider games, you know? And so like that to me, like there's no like, oh, I hate these guys kind of rivalry. Like it's just going to be like, it's going to be weird. It's gonna be like, it's going to feel like a practice because I'm so used to seeing them on defense, you know, but this time it counts. And so it'll be fun just to go against those guys, but it won't be like a very emotional week for me.
So who talked the most trash to you in practice that you're going to try to get after?
I disagree, man. It was the whole process. And I know I can understand Carr playing above it, but you know, that all changes when that week comes, when that Raider game comes there, he's going to want to beat the brakes off the Raiders, man. Because the way he left, I mean, they benched him and they unceremoniously marched him out of there. And a lot of people feel like Derek Carr deserved better that, you know, than what the Raiders gave him on the back end of that year. You know, because I remember he was saying that in that matter of fact, that year that he didn't want to play for anybody else. He would rather retire. And of course he changed his mind later on. And then, cause the Saints was trying to get Derek Carr. They was trying to trade for him at first. And then, you know, they worked out a trade. He stopped the trade and wanted to go into free agency to test his value. And the Saints were really the only, I mean, they had another, a couple of teams that were looking at Derek Carr, but nobody wanted to give him that kind of money. The Saints was giving them nobody, not even close. But ultimately, Dennis Allen, the guy who picks him, brings him here, and, you know, and the rest is the rest. But yeah, that Raiders game, he's going to, that's like Dennis Allen against Sean Payton. You know, he going to, yeah, he wants to beat him. Yeah, he wants to beat him. And then on top of that, man, those are two AFC games. We need to get them anyway. You get me? Straight up. Those are two AFC games. The Denver game with Sean Payton and the Raiders game with Derek Carr. We need to get those games. Them two AFC games. We need both of those games, man, in the grand scheme of things. So, yeah. Yeah. He wants to beat their damn brakes off. He's just taking a high road right here.
Oh, Max, 100% Max. Oh, we used to yell at each other. Oh my gosh, yeah,
that's great. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. With Rich, man, I know it's been a couple years. See him pop up again, or if you think that's possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Like everybody on that team, you know, first time with an interim coach making the playoffs. You know, all this kind of stuff, and we had to win like our last four or something like that to get in, and all that, everything that led up to that. And the moments that we had and the wins, like he absolutely had the heart and soul of our team. Like he had us, we would do anything for him. And, you know, going into that next year, I was like, you know, I'm going to try and get Devontae here. You know, I'll just add Tay to this and like, let's just keep it rolling, you know? And then that's not what they decided. You know, all of us players let it known. We want Rich, you know, and that's what we wanted. But obviously people have to make decisions that, you know, it's not our decision to make. And so, but with that said, he 100% is a head coach in this league. He needs to be a head coach in this league. And anybody that gives him a chance to be a head coach would, you know, one thing is your players, he'll get the most out of them. You know, he'll get the most out of them, and you would never regret hiring Rich Bisaccia as your head coach. He's one of my all time favorite coaches I've ever had.
The Sports Comb is brought to you by Bet Online. Where the game starts.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.